It's the day the Lord hath made today. Amen. It's a great day. You know, we prayed for people that are on vacation. How many of you have already had your vacation? You know, Keith got back from a big, long, long driving trip. How many of you have one coming up that you're going to do? Vacation, have you ever, you know, I remember planning stuff, you know, and I'm saying, you're going to have fun. You ever go through that right now? Vacations can be very, very stressful. You know, story about one man. He was on vacation one day, and the cop pulls the man over, and he says this, "Do you know you're driving without taillights?" The man is badly shaken as he gets out the car. He runs around the car. He becomes visibly upset. He's wailing. He's crying. So much so that the policeman says, "Stop." He has pity on the guy, and he says, "Sir, calm down. Take it easy, sir. It's not that serious of an infraction." The man says, "This may not be a big thing for you, but to me, this means I lost my trailer, my wife, and four kids," he said. So vacations can be stressful. Did you know that? Vacations can be stressful. Stand to your feet. You ready? You know what we're going to do. Let's say it together loudly. Let's make noise. Lift it up. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. We do it twice, louder. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It's my first call, not my last resort. And everyone said,
it is the foundation of my life.
Amen. Be seated in Jesus' name. Do you know that there is power in what we're doing today? That's why I stopped and talked a while about our worship and our praying and our in the Word. There is power in that. You see, it's very clear to us that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will reward us as we move in areas of worship, as we move in praise, as we move in devotion. But here's the deal. Here's the trick is the wrong word, but here's the secret is the better word for it. This must be an everyday walk. This must be an everyday mindset. You'll never get off the ground if it's only a Sunday morning mindset. It should be when your feet hit the ground. In the morning when I rise, as the old timers used to sing. And when I lay my head to sleep, I say, I am blessed. And we say words over and over, like brushing your teeth, like making your coffee. This is one of the strongly suggested life decisions. And we need it more than ever because the world is crazy right now. They're saying we're going to do these. By the way, when they say I'm from the government and I'm here to help you, don't believe it. It's for your own good. Don't question us. It's going to make life better and we'll live a peaceful life and we'll be able to sing. We are the world. No. 1 Thessalonians 5, I closed with it last week and I come back to it this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 in the Amplified. While everybody else is saying peace and safety, all is well and secure, then in a moment unforeseen, destruction will come upon them. Suddenly, like labor pains on a woman with child, and they will absolutely not escape, for there is no way to escape the judgment of the Lord. Adam and Eve learned that. Moses, even in all the good things he did, he suffered the judgment of God even in his final moments. Then we move forward. The Tower of Babel kids, we're going to build us something. And God ain't going to be able, we're going to come together as a group. We're going to build it. We're going to call it the United Nations Tower. It's Babel. By the way, Babel means confusion. In that very same chapter, a few verses later, I like what the New Living says. But let us, that's y'all, but let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. What that gives you a hope when there's no hope. That gives you something to hold on to. That's your parachute in this thing, y'all. That's your safety valve in this right now. That same chapter is so rich in verse 14. By the way, this is in Paul, some of Paul's final advice, by the way. Final words are very important. What are the last things you want to say or heard? So in verse 14, he's saying in chapter 5, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Stop right there. Probably the better translation there is those who are unruly with them, their lives and themselves. They're not cognizant of what they have to do to walk before God right now. He says, encourage those who are timid. King James Version probably says feeble-minded, or it actually says faint-hearted. So I'm here right now to warn those who are unruly. I'm here to encourage those who might be a little faint-hearted right now. Take care of those who are weak. What does that mean? That does not mean being able to lift a weight, but those who are weak in their faith. And listen to one more thing. Those who are weak in their grounding of the scripture, okay? They're weak in the foundation in their life. Does that make sense to you? It says, right, take tender care with those who are weak. I'm doing that right now. Not everybody is as strong. We're all smiling right now, but we're all on different levels right now. And I should take care, and I should speak to those who might be weak and weak in faith. Here, I got to work on this one. Be patient with everyone and see that no one pays back evil for evil. But it says always try. You're not going to make it every time. But give it a shot. Always try to do good to each other and to all people. Watch this. Always be joyful. Always be. One writer says it this way. Do you realize you have every reason to rejoice forever? Do you realize you have every reason to rejoice? Rejoice. Rejoice. It's not easy to rejoice. Oh, y'all are just singing Loving Jesus today. You can rejoice today, but some of you will lose it out the parking lot. It'll be gone when you try to get out on Clearview out there. It's going to be gone. It's going to be shot to pieces, but it says always be joyful. Verse 17, never stop praying. Verse 18, be thankful in everything or in all circumstances. And you know what I wrote in my parenthesis? I wrote, yeah, that's easy for you to say. Then I realized who was saying it. Wow. When you realize that most of these pep talks were written in a jail or just out of a jail, I mean, my goodness, that's hard. And it's not just him making it up. And I've given you all these words. Warn those, encourage those, take care, be patient, try to do good, always be for it, never stop praying. Be thankful. Here's the last line. For this is God's will for you, who belong to Christ Jesus. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. Get ready with your right hand. How many of you belong to Christ Jesus? I want to know what God wants me to do. I want to know the will of God. Keep them up. I want to know the will of God. I want him to speak. He just did. You know, the irony of Paul, who is intimately acquainted with incarceration, would tell us to rejoice forevermore. That seems like the bar you can't clear. But what he does in the midst of all of this, he left us a little nugget of insight on how to pull this off. And it's today's emphasis. It's verse 17. It says, never stop praying. New King James says, pray without ceasing. The NIV says, pray continually. The Amplified says, be unceasing and persistent in prayer. We have so much to pray about. We need fresh revelation. We need a fresh touch. And yes, we are in Christ Jesus. What do you have to pray about? My problem is I didn't know where to edit and where to stop talking about of things to pray about. I'm overwhelmed with things to pray about. Just this week, the article was released that they're predicting because of what's going on south of us right now and the people that are coming in and what's going on right now. By the way, that's all by design. That's not an accident. That's by design. Don't believe anything else. It's by design. It's by design. We've already been told, law enforcement's right now, you can expect another 9/11. They warn of what's coming into America mixed in among those who are really having needs right now. I got to pray about that. You can always count on California to come through for you. California is just now passing a thing in their legislature right now that because of they think harmful chemicals, that they're going to ban Skittles. California to ban Skittles in the state where children can get a sex change without their parents' approval. That's nuts. Heard a preacher one time said, when it's over, God's going to line up some people and look at them and say, thou art a mental case. That's what you got. Is that something to pray about? I'm not making this up. It's headlines. The Netherlands are now euthanizing autistic and intellectually handicapped children, a researcher has found. They're killing them in the Netherlands right now. It's right here. It's right here. This was, I don't have the full source of it, but I've got the full thing on my desk. You remember last month when they were walking through the streets? We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your kids. Now, if you get more offended at me that I said queer than you're offended about what went on and the naked people in roller skates, we got a problem with one another right now. When they made that chant, NBC News came out and defended the chant, and NBC defended the chant, we're coming for your children chant, because it says they were doing it. It was misconstrued, NBC News said, and it was taken out of context, and they were just trying to be facetious. NBC News thought they had to defend that. And speaking on that, just a few days ago, a Lutheran pastor in Germany, his name is Quentin Caesar, he stood up before his congregation last month and he said, now it's time to say this. God is queer. Right here. Michael J. Brown, who writes for Charisma a lot of times, he wrote this article. He's got all the documentation. Do I have anything to pray about? You better believe it. The irony, though, that he says to me, don't stop praying. So we get frustrated with what we're seeing all the time and we stop praying because we feel overwhelmed. You got it? Some of you, you'll feel overwhelmed, but Paul, even in all he knew and went through, he said, never stop praying. We are surrounded by the unthinkable. Paul was surrounded by the unthinkable in his time, but he said, don't stop praying. 4 or 5 weeks ago, I did a message, and the title of the message was, Does Jesus Care? And I referenced the old hymn, says, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. And we must keep the line open between God and ourselves. That is the prayer line. That's the most important. You know, once a year you should be up or getting somebody to do it. I'm not allowed on ladders anymore. You got to get somebody to go up and pull all the leaves out of your gutter, because if you don't, the water's not going to flow freely. Our lives are that way, and we need to spend time clearing out the things that have clogged up that flow there. There is a healing stream from the throne of God. Enter in. I love, we always quote the cast your cares on him, but I like the way the J.B. Phillips translation said 1 Peter 5:7. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties on him, for you are his personal concern. Wow. But I'm overwhelmed. You can throw the weight of that upon him. I'm reading all that. I can't believe it's going to get worse than this. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop, but you can throw your whole weight on him. But we've been raised in a time, especially those of you been raised around church and praying all the time, thinking you're not praying unless you've hit a certain pitch, or you haven't hit a certain level, or you haven't spent long hours. I got to tell you something. If you're going to keep praying, you're going to have to keep praying while you're working. You're going to have to keep praying while you're driving. You certainly need it on that interstate over there while you're driving there. You're going to have to do it when you're just walking around your house. You're going to do it when you're walking through a store, when you're watching something and it's going to come to you, and you're going to open your mouth and you're going to say something at that point in time right now. Spurgeon said it this way, true prayer is measured by weight, not by length. That has to do with our heart there. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer than in a fine oration of great length. How many of you were raised in a religious situation where some guy stood up in religious liturgical splendor and said, oh, great God of the universe? There was no more power in that than anything you can see there. But you've been in and you've heard some little old lady, oh, God, you heard a sound right there. And God says, I'm going to go spend time with her, not Buddy with his collar on. There's no power in that. There's pageantry, but there's not power. How important How important is it that we pray? Do you know it's important how you pray too? We must be specific in our prayers. You know, we'll be specific about everything else, but we're not specific in our prayers. The word says we make our petitions known to him. We lay them out before him. We do those things. I got to tell you what, we learn in life, you got to be specific. You got to be specific. Heard a story, 3 men were hiking one day. Unexpectedly, they come upon a large, violent, raging river. They needed to get to the other side. They had no idea how to do it. The first man prayed to God. He said, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross this river." And poof, God gave him big arms, strong legs, and he was able to swim across the river in about 2 hours, although he almost drowned getting over there. The second man is watching. He prayed to God. He prayed for strength, but he said, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools to cross this river." And poof, God gave him a rowboat, and he was able to row across the river in about an hour. But he almost capsized a couple of times because the river was raging. The third man had been watching all of this. He saw how things worked out for the other two. So he prayed, "Please, God, give me strength, the tools, and the intelligence to cross this river." God turned him into a woman. And then she stopped someone and asked for directions. She was told there was a bridge just 100 yards upstream right there. You got to be specific in your prayers. More on prayer. It all starts with a decision. I heard somebody apologizing about prayer, and they said, "Lord, please forgive me. I often overthink and under faith." Anybody like that? You? You're like that? I often overthink and I under faith. I can't get away from it because I know it's part of me, but how I bet there's hardly a week in my life that I don't hear the lines, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." It is a privilege to carry. And the word privilege jumped out at me this week. Do you know that when we pray, there are privileges and there are promises when we pray? When we are in an atmosphere of prayer and living a life of prayer, it's right. You're not going to have time to stop sometimes, but it's got to be that undergirding there. That undergirding, you're walking into somewhere, you're doing something. "Lord, I just thank you, Lord. Let this thing work right here." See, our emotional stability rests on this. There's a lot of people emotionally unstable because they haven't learned how to stay in a mindset of prayer. They're troubled. There's no peace. "Oh, what peace we often forfeit." What does that mean? We don't even show up for the fight. We give it away. In our rest. In our request before God. Through prayer, God has opened the door to his throne room. He's invited us to enter in with our specific petitions. That's a privilege. And he's promised that he would hear us when we pray. Jeremiah 33 says it this way. "Call to me, I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know." You do not know about the things that are coming down right now. He promised to hear us when we pray. Another, he has promised to move for us when we pray on our behalf. When we pray according to God's will, not the great universe, not Mary, not the unicorn rainbow, not the Bank of America. There's only one name. One name whereby you can be saved. Only one name. Only one. And that's why the war is raging. They want everything but that name. He's promised that when we pray, he will move for us and move on our behalf. But we have to pray this way. According to his will, number one, and in his name. It is his name where your power is in your prayer. The name of Jesus. the name of Jesus. 1 John 4, we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. And here he says here, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. God abides in him. God's abides in him and he in God. That's verse 14 and 15. Notice one other translation says, we're confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. In other words, according to his will. So we start from this reminder and this understanding, of course, that he understands our sorrows and grief. Isaiah 53 tells us that. Paul understood, but even more important than what Paul, Jesus is acquainted with our sorrow, with our grief, with our suffering. And because he experienced all of those things, he continues to be mindful of all that concerns you. The Bible says that. That's a good word for us today. Which brings me to this thought. Speaking to desperation, and some of you who are here today experience extreme anxiety. Extreme anxiety. You do this enough. You stand here enough. You see things pretty clear a lot of times. You see things a lot, and I don't mean that it's a mystical thing. I've seen those people doing playing this mystical trick. No. You feel these things, and you see. Sometimes a countenance will tell me a story, and we'll know just a simple sound. I find myself in difficulties today. So here we are on James. You know how I love the book of James. James chapter 5, verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? Anybody? That's in the New Living, by the way. That says message up there. The New Living Translation. I'm going to read this for you right now. Are any of you suffering from hardships? You should pray, he says. Are any of you happy? You should sing praise. Are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And verse 15 of James 5 says, such a prayer offered in faith. In fact, it literally says the prayer of the faith, not a prayer of faith, a prayer of the faith will heal the sick and the Lord will make you well. But notice this when you're asking God in your petitions. Here's what he says. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins one to the other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now notice this statement that we know so well. The earnest, by the way, the better word for that, the fervent or having energy, not Lord, Lord. It's grabbing the altar. The earnest, fervent prayer of a, watch, not of a person, of a righteous person has great power and it produces wonderful and great results. There's a clue that might have slipped by. I emphasized it for you. The key clue is this. The prayer of a righteous person. That has nothing to do with God. Of course, God honors that. I understand what I'm saying here. But it has to do with us and what we are doing to clear and unclog the flow before God. Putting those things away that block his word, his voice, his touch. And does this make sense to you right now? He says the prayer of a righteous person. What is a righteous person? A righteous person is, of course, the breakdown, they're in right standing with God. But there are things we must do to keep ourselves. You know, we had to renew something just last month with our zoning situation. And we had to refill out our here. And you know, all those hoops, they're just making money on you. You got to send in that check, though. And we got the letter back and we looked at it and it says, we are in right standing. That means we did a due diligence to make us in right standing and to say, okay, you're okay, and you did this right, and we understand in right standing with God. What is a righteous person? It means righteous in heart. That's something you have to work on. Righteous in our walk. The real key, righteous in our motive. And when you pray right, when you pray right and with a righteous heart, righteous in our walk, righteous in our motive, righteous as a person right now, You know, how many times have we prayed prayers and our hearts were not right? We've all done it. Our hearts weren't right. James said it this way. Some of you guys, you're asking and you don't receive anything because you're asking amiss. That's chapter 4, verse 3. He said, and you spend it on your pleasures, he said. So now let's look at the Message Bible of what James says in 5:13. Watch this. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Are you sick? Call the church. Leaders together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master, believing prayer will heal you and Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins. And I'm not talking about, it's not talking about some gut rinse. It's you come and say, hey, amen, pray with me about something. I'm just dealing with something right now. I'm asking you to agree with me. And sometimes that encouragement goes a long, long way. Pray for each other. You got to pray so you can all live together, whole and healed. You live with more than two people in your house, you got to pray this prayer. Now watch this, though. This is where I want to land. The prayer of a person living right with God. You see that? The person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. I'll just stop right there. One in right standing. And that means we must work toward that. Sometimes you have to say it until it gets inside of you. Okay? It's in a trick, in magic. It's consistent. It's sowing. It's laboring. It's plowing. It's breaking up fallow ground. It's clearing the clog inside and getting the junk out so there's a free flow right there. We lost our friend Jack Hayford this year. What a giant. Linda was saying something to me this morning, how thankful she was of how our paths crossed some of these saints, some of these pioneers, you know. Jack Hayford, man, wow, what a man. What a man. What a great man. We did make fun of him a lot. Jack Hayford, why use three words when 28 were better? If you ever listen to Jack Hayford, get your dictionary out while you're riding. He's going to give you a lesson at the same time. Jack, in his Spirit-Filled Life Bible, was writing on the book of James. And he picked four points in James that he thought were priorities. And it sounds like a righteousness checklist. You got it? Remember when I read the person of a prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful? And Jack wrote a checklist of four things about a maturing checklist, a growth checklist, and a checklist about getting our prayers answered. And he said, we must grow in godliness. We must cultivate devotion. We must pursue holiness. And then we must walk in faith. That's it right there, okay? You're talking about y'all. Keep praying, y'all. Keep praying, y'all. The prayer of a righteous person. We must grow in godliness. We must cultivate devotion. We must pursue holiness. Then we must walk in faith. Whose job is that? Mine and yours. We walk in righteousness so that we may be healed. We're praying that illumination. We're praying that insight will come. Yes, we're praying for peace. Yes, we're praying for rest. Yes, we're praying for direction. But we're praying for illumination and insight. Ongoing, the ongoing conversation. We hear about a partnership that Paul writes about many times, about the fellowship of suffering. But there's also a fellowship of joy. There's a fellowship of joy when you're around folks like this. Some of you come early. I don't know anybody. Come 10 minutes early. I don't know anybody. Stay 10 minutes after. I want to be a friend who can pray about life and joy in God's presence. I want to be mindful that God, as I pray, that I want to be mindful that you are concerned about the smallest thing and the biggest thing that concerns me. And as I said when I opened, there's power in what we're doing today. The Lord Jesus Christ will reward our efforts and our faith. Our faith. How do you start this? You step out in faith. The great faith chapter said that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he or she
who comes to God must first believe that he is. Stop right there. In my margin, here's what I actually wrote in parentheses in all caps. This is huge, and I put a bunch of U's. When we first come to God, we must first acknowledge in our prayer life that he is. That he is. There is no other. That he, the first commandment, that he is. That he is. And the connecting thought, and that he is the one. He is the one who will reward those who diligently seek him. The prayer of a righteous person is incredible. I read just a little thought one day. I don't even know the author of the thought. And it simply says it this way. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Devil can't put a finger on you. He can't accuse you. He can't blame you. You're walking with God. So I'm telling you to continue in prayer, and maybe you're not having a prayer meeting, but as you leave, we can all do. You're walking through the store. You're walking through the Walmart. Hope it's not Target. You're walking through the Walmart. You're walking through there, and there's something inside as you're just going down there. Lord, you said you're going to bless me in the basket. Bless me in the store. J.C. Ryle said it this way. He said, Paul said, continue in prayer and pray without ceasing. He didn't mean that people should always be on their knees. He did not mean that in our prayers that they should be he did mean that they should be like continued burnt offerings, steadily preserved in every day. There's always that thing going to God. We're going to talk about praise in the next few weeks. That's all. It doesn't have to be that constant connection. Before you sleep, pray. When you wake up, pray. When you start your task, pray. In your troubles, pray. When life gets hard, pray. When you're happy, pray. When you're anxious, pray. When you're afraid, pray. But how? You know, we may be weak in some things, but I'm going to tell you how to pray. Bold. Be bold in your prayer. It's not up to you to answer it. Be bold in your prayer. Hebrews 4 said, so let us come how? Boldly before the throne of the gracious God. And there at his throne, we will receive his mercy. We will find grace to help when we need it. Thank you, Lord. We'll find grace when we need it the most. So we enter our prayer and our praise boldly before him. We do it in Jesus' name. We come together. I want you to stand to your feet.